Hallelujah. Shall we give a bigger hand clap to Jesus? Thank you so much. My, please sit down. Sit down. My superintendent is here this morning, so I've got to behave myself. Pastor Paul, I think he's hiding in the sandbox somewhere. Shall we clap for him? He's an amazing man of God. Sit down. Okay, he's gone somewhere. I must admit, I didn't know what I was going to bring this morning. I didn't have a clue what I was going to bring. I waited and waited and prayed and prayed. Nothing. A whole week, nothing. 8 days, nothing. And I said, God, if you're going to do this, I need time. I need time to plan. You know, because planning makes things much easier for me. It helps me organize and everything. And I'm saying, God, what am I supposed to bring? Because it makes a huge difference. If the Holy Spirit is behind what you say, it creates such an impact. There are times that you come, I've been to churches where they've shared a word, and 2 hours after I've left the auditorium, I can't even remember what they shared. But when the Spirit is behind whatever you say, you leave, and after 6 months, it's still with you. You know, and so as I was praying and still waiting on God, nothing came. It's just a story that He dropped on my heart. And the story was this. This was a lady sharing her testimony with me. She said she was due to speak at a conference. And so she planned, she prepared, she got everything ready for the conference. And then when the time finally came on that day, she went over her notes, everything was right. But about 10 minutes before she mounted the platform, her iPad wouldn't start. She tried to charge it, it wouldn't work. She did all she could, it would never work. And so she was thinking, what do I do now? So she just went on the platform and said, you know what, I am going to share my life story. You know, and so she mounted the platform, and then, because that's the only thing she had, and that's the only thing she could keep at the time, so she did that. And as soon as she finished, a lady walked up to her, and she said, thank you so much for sharing this message. I was at the conference the day before. I didn't feel God ministering to me, and so I came today hoping God was going to minister to me, and He has. And what you shared today has blessed me so much, because I know that if God can do it for you, then He can do it for me as well. If God can deliver you out of every problem that He has, then He can do the same for me. And then she reached out into a bag and gave her this bottle. She said, look, I said to myself, if I come today and God doesn't touch me, I'm going to kill myself. But because of what you shared, I've been changed. I know now I've got a destiny. And so I'm not going to kill myself anymore. And she handed the poison to the lady. She handed the poison. You see, at times we plan, we organize, we do all sorts of things. And God, God at times would interrupt our plans, and we don't understand why. There are times that He will put our plans on hold. We don't understand why. There are times He will even cancel the whole plans, and we don't understand why. And it's not because your plans are bad in themselves, no. But it's because He's got something bigger and better in store for you that is nowhere near the plans that you have. And so when we plan, let's not be rigid about our plans. Let us make it flexible so that God can move in between the plans. You see, He does that throughout the Bible. Look at someone like Abraham, for instance. He had no plans to leave his country and his people. But God said, I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your people and go to a place that I will show you. Even he didn't know where he was going, but he obeyed and he followed God. It happened to Isaac. There was famine in Israel, and he wanted to go to Egypt because everyone was migrating to Egypt. And God said, no, I want you to stay here in Israel because that's where I'm going to bless you. And the Bible said that same year he sowed in that land, and he got 100-fold. He did that with Moses. Moses had no plans to lead the Israelites. He was a shepherd, and that's what he wanted to do. But God intercepted and interrupted his plans and said, I want you to lead your people. And I don't even want to talk about Mary. She was engaged, Mary. Engaged, ready to get married. And then God said, no, Mary, you're going to have to put your marriage on hold because you're going to carry my son. That is Jesus Christ. So now there are times that we plan and God intercepts or interrupts. We don't know why he's doing that, but he's got a plan and a purpose. And so as God dropped this story into me, these were the lessons that God was teaching me. He said, look, it's okay to plan, but when you plan, just make sure you make room for me to maneuver, because I see what you don't see. I know what you don't know. I understand things that you don't understand. And unless you make room for me, then you might not see my glory in your life. That's one thing that I learned. There's another thing. As I was pondering over this story, I realized how much God is sensitive to our needs. He's extremely sensitive to her needs. This lady came up thinking God didn't care about her. She came thinking God had forgotten about her. But God purposely made the iPad not to work. And believe me, as soon as she finished her message, the iPad came back on. It worked. It worked, yeah. And so it tells me how God is sensitive to our needs at times, you know. And it reminds me of a scripture in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Liz. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, if you've got. It says, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? You find Jesus asking this question so many times. What do you want me to do for you? Then the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Now, just imagine this. He's a blind man. And the Bible says Jesus was leaving Jericho with the 12 disciples around him and a great crowd around him. Now you imagine, if you've been to a stadium before, imagine shouting across the stadium. It's hard for anybody to hear you. It's hard for anybody to hear you. But this guy was shouting, trying to get Jesus' attention. And not only that, he had enemies of progress around him. There were people saying, look, shut up, he's not going to hear you. But the Bible says he refused to, and he shouted more. Now what is interesting is, the crowd was so mad, I don't think that anybody could hear him. But Jesus, being so sensitive, was able to pick up his cry out of all the noise, out of all the confusion, out of all the distractions. Somehow he was able to pick up the voice of Sam. And that's why I'm saying Jesus can be really sensitive to our needs at times that we don't even realize. Extremely sensitive. And this is what I see with this woman. Extremely sensitive. And not only that, I see that God is someone who will always go out of his way for us. He would always go out of his way for us. In John chapter 4, you know the story of the woman at the well. In John chapter 4, John chapter 4. Whilst we are waiting, I think Pastor Paul is back. Let's clap for him. He's trying to dodge. John chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 1, please. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. So, you know, they were blaming Jesus for baptizing people. You know, they're saying, look, you just came on the scene. Why are you baptizing? John the Baptist had been with you, has been here before you. Why come you're baptizing? And the Bible is saying, although it wasn't even Jesus, it was his disciples who were doing it. It wasn't him. But they were blaming him. And what Jesus does is he says, go back to verse 3, please. But he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. He thought, you know what? I'm walking away from all this drama. People are complaining. People are chatting. People are saying this. People are saying that. And you just came into the office and you think you're the boss. You're this, you're that. At times, you just have to walk away from all the drama. Unless God says stay there, just walk away. Walk away from the drama and just leave it. So he left Judea and he departed to Galilee. Now, he says on his way to Galilee, he says he needed to go through Samaria. And I was sharing this the other day at the furnace. The fact that he said he needed to go through Samaria, if you read the Amplified, he said it was necessary for him to go through Samaria. Now, if you're coming here this morning and it's necessary for you to go through, let's say, IKEA or Asda or Tesco's, if it's necessary for you to go through there, then it means there is a reason why you're going through there. There is a purpose why you're going through there. There are times in the week when I'm coming to work, it's necessary for me to go through Lidl because I've got to eat. What, you see, you're laughing because I have to eat. You see, some of you, look at Janet, some of you are pretending you don't go to Lidl. But if I catch one of you there, one, you know what I'm going to do? Okay, I'm going to take a picture of you and then put it on the Harvest Facebook and caption it, chief suspect. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But it's funny, I think 2 years ago, Pastor Paul went on holiday, and he sent me a text message of a picture. I said, oh, that's nice. He never sends me any pictures when he goes on holiday. I wondered what it was, so I opened the picture, and guess what? It was a picture of Lidl that he had seen somewhere. And I'm thinking, Pastor Paul, as if I don't even have enough Lidls here. You're sending me more pictures of... See, that's the reason why we go on encounters. Really? That's why we go on encounters. But the thing is, if I go on an encounter, the person who is going to pray for me is the same person sending me the text message. So what do I do? Anyway, let's get back. But he had to go through Samaria. So there was a reason why he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's soul was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat down by the wall. It was about the 6th hour, which is about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Now he's making his way to Galilee, and then he gets to Samaria, and then he stops. Now the Bible says he was tired. So he stopped and he sat down by the well. And what I'm thinking is, listen, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's hot. The Galileans, it's hot. It's blazing. If you're tired, you look for a shade and sit underneath. You don't sit by a well. And we know that he wasn't thirsty. He wasn't looking after water. No, he wasn't looking for water, rather. If you're thirsty, you don't sit by a well. You look for a shade or somewhere cool to sit down. But he sits by a well. What was he doing? Now, this guy already has gone out of his way, and he's sitting by a wall. He's waiting. And now we find out why he's doing that, because in verse 7 it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said, give me a drink. So let's imagine that is the wall. Jesus is sitting down. This woman of Samaria coming with her bucket, you know, and she spots Jesus. Now, also, you've got to realize that in those days, you don't go for water at that time. If you wanted to go and fetch water, you go early in the morning or late in the evening when the sun goes down, just to avoid the sunshine. That's what they used to do. Now, but because this woman had issues, she didn't want to encounter anybody at the well in the morning or in the evening. So he was going at a time that she thought there's going to be nobody there, do her thing quietly and then leave. She wanted to walk away from any drama because she had issues of her own. The last thing she wanted, anybody reminding her of what she's got. She thought, let me go in the afternoon when nobody is there, then I'll be fine. So as she walks towards the wall, she sees Jesus sitting there. And not only does she know, she sees that it's a Jewish person sitting there at the wall. And she's probably thinking, what's that guy doing at the wall? At this time of the day, should I just go back and come later on, or should I go anyway? Anyway, I bet he wants something, because nobody does that. I bet he wants something. So she makes her way to the wall, and true to her words, the first thing Jesus says, he doesn't even say hello, he doesn't even say hi, he doesn't say good morning, he says, give me a drink. And now she's thinking, I knew it. Just like any other man, they don't talk to you unless they want something. I said, oh, look. And then it says, he asked Jesus for water. See verse 8, it says, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now, Samaritans had no dealings with Jews. They looked down upon them. And not only that, Jesus was a rabbi as well. Rabbis in those days were not even allowed to go near women, let alone talk to them. And so all this was playing up in the woman's mind. And then Jesus said something. He says, if only you know the gift of God and who it is that is asking you for this, you'd rather ask him for water. And he asks us that question all the time. You see, we take God for granted. If only we knew what we have in God. If only we knew the benefits of having God. I mean, this is God himself sitting down, waiting, going out of his way just for one person. Now, this story we are reading, this exchange between the woman and Jesus, is the longest conversation ever recorded between Jesus and anybody in the Bible. And yet her name is not even mentioned. That tells you she's not significant. And yet God goes out of his way just for this woman, sits by the wall just to wait for her. And then we see what happens. She touches the woman, and then suddenly the woman gets transformed. She goes back into town. She's not shy anymore. She's got no more issues. And he says, look, come and see. I've seen a man who's transformed my life. And everybody comes, and when they see Jesus, they say to the woman, you're not here anymore because of your testimony, but we have seen it for himself, and we believe him now. Hallelujah. And that's what God does. He will go out of his way just for one person because he's always got the bigger picture in mind. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He says, I will be with you wherever you go. He says, I will be with you to the end of time. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. Remember Jesus told Joshua? Joshua, yeah. When he said, Joshua, look, I want you to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And he said to Joshua, look, I will never leave you or I'll never forsake you. I'm going to be with you as you go. And wherever the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I will give it to you. And then this is what he says. He says, two things I'm warning you not to do. Do not be afraid or do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid or do not be discouraged. Fear and discouragement a lot of the times stops us from getting into our destiny. Now, that woman, the story I shared with you about the woman who had wanted to kill herself, I guarantee you it was discouragement that nearly drove her to kill herself. And even the woman at the well, how do you know that day? That was probably her last day. She was even thinking of killing herself. And that's why Jesus maybe had to go out of his way for her. You never know. But Jesus says, but God said to Joshua, make sure you, whatever you do, get rid of fear and discouragement. Because when you harbor fear, discouragement, it can stop you from reaching what you have to do. Have you ever heard or have you ever been around somebody who is discouraged before? Listen to the way they talk. And this and that. It's all negative stuff. And so when God is trying to get you into your destiny, you are talking yourself out of your destiny because of the things you're saying. But it's interesting because when God says to Joshua, make sure you're not afraid or you're not discouraged, he then goes on to show him what to do. He says, this book of the law shall not depart from, not your mind or your heart, but from your lips. You shall meditate on this day and night, because therein, in the meditation, lies your prosperity. In other words, as long as you stay within the boundaries of my word, you are going to prosper. As long as you stay within the boundaries and don't go outside and say things that are not in my word, you will prosper. It's funny, the word meditation, when you look at it in the Hebrew form, it's called Haggah, H-A-G-A-H, Haggah. And it means to say or to mutter, M-U-T-T-E-R. So what he's saying is, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate. You shall say day and night, fasting in the morning, fasting in the evening. Keep saying, you're muttering the word of God. You know, you say to yourself, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, if God is for me, who can be against me? You know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall feel him. You say to yourself, now it's meditation. Now, as you say that, you say, you know, what you say to yourself, you eventually become. What you say to yourself, you eventually become. And I guarantee you, that woman who had wanted to kill herself, she had been saying to herself, I'm going to kill myself one day. I'm going to kill myself one day. And she nearly did. And so God is warning Joshua, he says, look, this book of the law shall not depart from, keep meditating, keep saying every time, morning, evening, before you go to bed, when you walk, keep saying all the time, because that's where your prosperity lies. Because when you meditate, meditation leads to revelation, and revelation leads to transformation. And that's why God is saying, as you meditate, he reveals things to you that you are not aware of, and then suddenly that transformation arises on your inside. Hallelujah. And I know that Joshua was doing it because it got to a point along the line when he had to fight a battle. Remember when he said he commanded the sun to stand still? Now I guarantee you, if you don't know your authority in Christ, or if you're not full of the word, there's no way you can command the sun to stand still. There's no way. But he knew his authority in Christ. He had been meditating on the word. He was full of the word. He knew God's promises concerning his life. He knew that God had given him the land. And he knew that no matter what happened, because God had given him, he was standing on God's promises. So whatever he said would come to pass, because it's in line with God's will for his life. And so, as he's fighting the enemies, the Bible says the sun begins to go down. And he realizes that, look, if I don't defeat my enemies today, I may have to live to fight another day. Or even worse, my enemies can regroup and come back and fight me. You know, the Bible says when you cast a demon out of the person, It goes round places. When it doesn't find anybody, it gets seven more wicked spirits and then come, and your case is even worse than before. And so he knows that if these guys regroup and they come back, my situation may be worse. And so he said, you know, I'm going to stand on the promises of God and say, I'm going to command the sun to stand still. And he did, and the sun stood still. Now watch this. We all know that the sun doesn't go round the earth. It's the earth that goes round. So in effect, time stopped. In effect, time stopped. God stopped the time just for us or just for Joshua. Just for Joshua. He would go out of his way any single time just for you. He would do it just for you. Shall we give God a hand clap? Hallelujah. He says, look, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans that I have for you. And if you read that verse in this Jeremiah 29:11, if you read the preceding verses before that in Jeremiah 29:11, you see why he says that. Jeremiah 29:1, please. It says, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captives from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smith had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thank you, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you have caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. And then he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Now, this is what was happening. Now, the children of Israel were captives. They were in captivity. And they were crying out to God for deliverance. And so God sends the answer through the prophet Jeremiah in the form of a letter, and he sends it to them. And in the letter, God is saying, look, I know that you're not exactly where you want to be. I know you're in captivity. Nobody wants to be in exile because there's no place like home. And I know things didn't go according to plan. I know the way you plan things, maybe this year didn't go the way you had wanted to go. But I want to encourage you that, look, do not put your life on hold just because things are not going well. I want you to carry on living just the way I want you to. I want you to carry on. Do not put your life on hold because things are not going the way. Because I've allocated a time. In 70 years, I will move my hand. Now, I'm not saying it's going to take 70 years for God to move in your life. No. But what he's saying is, look, I'm working according to heaven's calendar. And once that time is up, I am going to move. Because in my own time, I make things beautiful. And so, do not put your life on hold. Then he says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. These are thoughts of peace, not of evil, but to give you a future and hope. He doesn't mean any harm. It wasn't good for us. So maybe you find yourself in a situation that is not pleasant. Maybe the way you planned didn't go the way you wanted to. But do not put your life on hold just because the way you planned things did not go the way it should go. Do not plan. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, please, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says this. Mark 10:45. I'll take the opportunity to drink some water. Look at this. It says, no, that's not little. It says, for even the Son of Man, I know the taste, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. No, go back, please. 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, that word ransom there should tell you that there are captives involved. If you see the word ransom, it should tell you there are captives involved. And so Jesus is saying, look, I came to obtain your release. I came to obtain your release from captivity. I came to obtain your release from fear. I came to obtain your release from distractions or from doubts or discouragement. I came to obtain your release from all this. So you have no reason to worry. You have no reason to be perturbed. You have no reason to be confused, because that is why I came. Hallelujah. So when you read this, always remember that God is ready. He just wants to do his own thing in his own time. So no matter how you feel today, no matter how your plans may have gone wrong, do not be discouraged. Keep doing what you have to do, because he knows the plans he has for you. There are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. There are plans to bring you to an expected end. And maybe you may be here, and maybe even your year went well, which is great. But do not end there. Do not stop there. He said to Joshua, look, I'll be with you wherever you go. My presence will be with you wherever you go. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given it to you as your inheritance. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given it to you as your inheritance. So if you decide to take a step, he's given to you. If you decide to take two steps, that's yours. Three, that's yours. If you decide to take the whole area, that's yours. He says so, because I'll be with you wherever you go. So his presence is guaranteed, but how far you go is up to you. And so I want to encourage you this morning that do not settle where you are, because God knows the plans he has for you. Hallelujah. And lastly, what I want to talk about is the fact that, look, maybe your plans did not go well. Maybe somewhere along the line, things changed. Maybe somewhere along the line, things happened that you were not expecting. You know, just like the guys who went to exile, they were not expecting that things changed. His plans may change, but his purpose will always remain the same. Hallelujah. I want you to get up right now. Give the Lord a hand as you get up. Hallelujah. His plans may change, but his purpose will not change. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. And I want us to do that right now. I want us to come before the Lord as Jessica comes up the stage to minister a song. I want us to reach out to God right now. Many times Jesus said, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? You know, at times we go before God and we say, God, bless me. But he wants the specifics. He wants the just saying bless me is nothing. As far as I'm concerned, he's blessed us, but we've got to be specific at times with what we say. We've got to be specific when we come before God. And don't worry, because God is not afraid not to answer it. So you ask him anyway, and if it's his will, he will do it. Jesus.